Well, glory. Amen. It's another one of those songs, so incredibly rich, not just in doctrine, but in the living reality of what we have in Jesus Christ. All because of the finished work and the death, the burial, and as Dustin said, the resurrection. You see, he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. The Scripture says that had the prince of this world known it, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But death brings life. It's great to see you here on Monday night. Folks, I love Monday night crowds. Somebody said people go to church on Sunday morning because they love their church. People go to church on Sunday night because they love their pastor. There were a lot of people here last night that loved you, Rodney. But people go to church Monday through Friday night because they love their Lord. And I hope and pray and believe that your attendance here tonight is an indication of that desire to meet with him. And I know the Scripture says that anyone who thirsts can be filled because of what he's done for us. A couple of reminders here. Prayer room. We have set aside a place for people to go anytime during our services, whenever God speaks to their heart, for you to get up, leave your seat. Don't wait for me to say, I think God just spoke to somebody and we need to obey. You don't need me to say that or Rodney or anyone else. We just need to instantly obey the Lord. And it's a place simply for you to go, to get alone with God, to respond to whatever he has said to you. And then from that time, come back in the service, continue to allow God to speak to your hearts. As I said, there's nothing mystical or magic about that room. But I will tell you this, there is something about somebody having to take a physical step to obey the Lord. And also, by the way, there is something very scriptural about what we're doing during these days. Do you remember the times in the Old Testament when God would call his people to come out and to build booths out of their cities and come to Jerusalem and so on and set booths out there as a place and as a reminder of what God had delivered them from, but unique and special times to seek God. And some of those were incredible times when God did an incredible work. Some of them were just religious duty. We don't need that. But we do need a people whose hearts are set toward the Lord. And so prayer room, open whenever God speaks to your heart, freedom for you to move, and then come on back in the services. Again, I know we're not used to that. That's okay. We're going to get used to doing things a little different during these days. And you know what? Community Bible Church will survive. It really will. And it'll be okay for us to do that. As a matter of fact, the very message I'm going to share with you tonight deals with that concept in essence from the life of a person in the Scriptures that God has used incredibly in my life. Ahead of that time, let's go to living giving principle number two tonight. Grace giving principle number two. Last night I shared with you principle number one from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And by the way, you can go ahead and turn there because the second principle is coming out of that same passage. Grace giving as taught by Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. And again, if you get a chance, read both those chapters. You'll find that almost everything in there in some way is related to grace giving and something that ought to be a regular practice in our lives as believers. Now, let's review for just a minute. Last night, we learned that God's priority in giving is that before I give anything materially to God, I should first give him what? Myself. After the example of the Macedonian believers. This they did. Not as we'd hoped or not as we'd expected, but first gave themselves unto the Lord and then gave unto us by the will of God. By the way, isn't that 90% of the issue anyway? Getting to the place that we give ourselves in a fresh way to God. Once that's settled, everything else is downhill. So tonight, we're going to look at principle number two, and this one we're going to begin our reading in verse 7 of the same chapter. Notice what Paul says now. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Notice Paul calls giving a grace. It is a grace. One of these nights this week, perhaps tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about grace and hopefully learning from the scriptures the incredible power of grace in our lives. On an ongoing basis, we know we needed grace to get saved, but beyond there, we need grace for sanctification. We need grace for our walk with the Lord on a daily basis. But he says, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment. He said, I don't have a direct command on this, but instead, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. I am using the example of other believers to provoke you, to stir you up in your obedience to God. By the forwardness of others, and notice this, and we'll come back to this later, and to prove the sincerity of your love. That's another principle. We'll come back to it again. Now, this one, interesting, Rodney quoted this last night. This is our verse for the night. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and could we not say incredibly, unmeasurably, immeasurably rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, incredibly poor. What did he say? The birds of the air have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. Incredibly poor, so that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. Now, I don't know if you're writing these principles down. If you were last night's God priority, number one is that we first give ourselves. Here's living grace-giving principle number two. I must be willing to be made materially poor, notice, if necessary, in order that I or others might be made spiritually rich. I must be willing to be made materially poor, if necessary, in order that I or others might be made spiritually rich. Again, is that what Jesus did? Did he not leave the glories of heaven to come to the earth, to humble himself, to be made a man, to take on human flesh, in order to be made poor? Why? So that we might be made spiritually rich. Now, you say, how does this apply to my life? You know, I was thinking today as I walked, and I've been getting my walking in. I usually, back in the Ozarks, I walk 3 miles a day. Now, that's different walking in the Ozarks versus walking in the flatlands here. Did you know that? I feel kind of spoiled. You know, there's no ups and downs and stuff. There's cars to watch out for. Because Rodney was surprised. I've been walking this main road here. Some of you may have passed me out here. I'm probably going to take some country roads tomorrow, depending on the time that I go, because they were zooming in trucks and stuff like that. But I've learned how to dodge and weave and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, walking out here and getting my exercise and all like that, and thinking about illustrations of this. And I almost hesitate on how to give you illustrations, because there are so many different ways that God could apply this to your life. By the way, I committed myself years ago not to teach or preach anything that I was not living and practicing, and anything that we as a family have not obeyed in our lives. And the grace-giving principles that I'm going to share with you, I could in each of them share with you personal illustrations. I try to share some other illustrations and stuff. And there is one personal way for us as a family, as I was thinking today, that we have done this. I know that every family is different. We had the joy, the privilege of homeschooling our children. We actually had the best of both worlds, because as we traveled on the road, not only did we homeschool them, but we always took a teacher with us. And so Nancy and I would do the first part of the homeschooling in the morning from 8 till noon or something. Then they'd go into a classroom after that, have another teacher to take care of, basically a Sunday school classroom somewhere. We had the best of both of those. But we believed that God wanted us for our children, beyond the education that they received from us. We believe that God wanted us, if God directed them to go to college, for us to be able to pay for a Christian college in order for them to get their undergraduate. I hate them calling that an undergraduate degree. There's a lot goes into those 4 years, you know. But anyway, to get their undergraduate degree. And God has allowed us to do that for each of our 6 children. I don't necessarily believe that all girls have to go to college. For the most part, for guys today, it seems like usually guys end up going. It did end up that each of our girls ended up going, but God allowed us, by His grace, through obeying these grace-giving principles, to be able to graduate each of our six kids with their bills paid and them not having to carry into marriage or into the future of their life indebtedness. Do you know that the average couple marrying today, where they have just come out of college, the average couple are entering into marriage with an average of $60,000 indebtedness to start off with? And it just became our prayer and our burden. And as we obeyed those principles that we're sharing with you here in giving toward the needs of others, I could probably stand for a half hour and just share with you the incredible ways that God has miraculously allowed us. If you can imagine now, even in the last 3 years, when we've been off the road and basically out of full-time road time ministry, you know, when you're on the road like we are, as I told you, we're missionaries. We have some support that comes in, people who support us on a monthly basis and have done it for years. Most of them are not people that we sought. They're either churches that we've ministered in who took us on as missionaries, or they have been individual families that God's allowed us to minister to and perhaps be a help in their home, and they have cared for our needs. But you know, that takes care of a portion of your needs. Beyond that, traveling on the road as we do, we look toward offerings and gifts from people that we minister to, which, by the way, is a biblical principle. Look at it in the New Testament. Paul said those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel, and so on, and that that would help with those needs. In the last 3 years, for the most part, having to be off the road, not being in churches and local church ministry where those offerings were coming in, to see God still faithfully provide, where we've had three children in college during these years and to see their bills taken care of. So we must learn to give today out of that which we have in order that even if it means us being poor, going without some things, others, in this case, our children, might be made spiritually rich. Let me give you a practical application of this that one businessman, one of our meetings, he had called us. He is a businessman out of Canada. He owns a large furniture company that produces furniture, literally, that is sold all across America, all through North America, but in Canada mainly. And he called us at one point and he said, I have been studying and God has put something on my heart. He said, we have four major sales where we go into large cities, St. Louis, something like that. We set up our shows and all of these distributors for furniture companies come and they order for all of their stores throughout the country. He said, we've been doing that for many years now. And he said, 80% of all of our sales for the year are written up on Sundays in those shows. So they go into a place for a show for a weekend. Basically, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and they're out of there. And he said, in the process of that, he said, God has laid something on my heart that I need to close our displays on Sunday. And those shows, those four shows that's here. He said, now you need to understand something for us. 70% of all of our sales for the year are written up on those four Sundays. He said, I've gone, I've shared this with my salesman and so on. He said, I lost two of my top salesmen based on this decision. Between the two of them, they've been with me 25 years. He said, but I believe God wants us to do this to honor Him on that Sunday. It's kind of like the idea that the Cathys have taken with Chick-fil-A, you know, and honoring God on that day and so on. He said, so please pray for us because this could be it. And they went to the first one. They put up a sign out there. Hope this does not disrupt you all's plans as sales, as buyers and so on. But we believe that we should honor God on Sundays. And so we have decided to close our sale on Sunday and hope you'll come back and see us on Monday. Well, that day finally came. We were praying as a ministry for him. And they put up the signs and so on. They went to church. They worshiped with their families and so on and came back on Monday, just wondering what they would find. To their amazement, they found that 2 hours before the shows were even to open, that those buyers were lined up outside waiting to get into their display. Bottom line was, in that one sale alone, in that one sale out of four large sales that they did, all of their sales increased 55% over everything that they had produced the year before. What did they say? I am willing to be made materially poor. God, this is your business. We give it over to you. Whatever you want. I'm willing to be made materially poor if in the process I or others can be made spiritually rich. I have no way of knowing how God could apply that principle to you and to your family and what have you, but we have an example set by Jesus, all right? And so let's bow our hearts. Let's take a few minutes just to pray and reflect on this. You know what this principle really says? What it really says is that spiritual things are more important to me than material things. For some of us, it might mean I'm going to honor these convictions even if it costs me my job, because I want myself, my family, others who know my testimony to be made spiritually rich. Take a moment to reflect on this. At the end of that time, Pastor will come, lead us in prayer, share any burdens or announcements he has on his heart as we continue on.